Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hey everybody, this is Mark.
And Christy.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Divine Practice Radio Show. We're on every month, one time a month, usually on a Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Third Thursday, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we have a tendency of flipping back and forth. One month we do our own show, and another month we like to bring someone on the interview. So this particular show, we have someone on that we're going to be interviewing today. And, we'll be giving out her website and everything in case you want to find out more about her services. And of course, as always, I like to promote our website, which has all the different radio shows on it. This, of course, is the Divine Practice Radio Show, and we're on Spiritual Connections Radio. And you can find out more about the shows and the times and dates and the other great hosts and everybody that we have on every month by going to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Do we want to give out the number today? We kind of told our guest, Christy, we probably wouldn't be doing any interviews today.
I don't know if we're going to have time for callers. We can just maybe play it by ear.
Okay, sounds good. So, before we get started in introducing our guest, I want to go ahead and give out her website. And her website actually is linked up on the radio show website. So if you go up there, you can actually get a link to her website. But her website is snugglingheartsca, as in California almost.
Canada.
Canada.
International guest. This is freaking awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Because she's amazing.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce our snuggling hearts expert.
Yes. So Christy, and then forgive me on the last name because I'm blanking. Because I just know Christy is my beautiful Christy, because Christy Ann, because we're both Christy Ann's. but Christy, I'll let you introduce your last name in a minute. I apologize about that. But Christy's coming to us from Canada, and she's going to talk about an exciting new venture she has started with Snuggling Hearts. So healing through touch, non-sexual touch. And Christy has a long background in the healing arts as a nurse, as an RN, and also in the emergency field as a paramedic and I believe EMT. Christy will correct me if I'm wrong. But we met Christy a couple years ago now, maybe more, on a retreat up in Portland. And immediately we were drawn to Christy's amazing, beautiful, caring, loving heart. She is a gift to this planet, and it is such an honor to be able to interview Christy right now with what she's doing, this innovative practice that she's opening up space here on the planet at this time for healing on so many levels. So thank you, Christy, for being on the show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you on also. So, as we go in and we talk about the new practice that you created, the healing, the loving, the open heart, and all the different aspects of it, where are you in Canada?
I am in Nanaimo, British Columbia. And my practice is out of Duncan, British Columbia on Vancouver Island.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So Snuggling Hearts, where did the idea come from?
Well, I noticed in my nursing practice that whenever I gave someone my full and undivided attention, it settled them down and all of a sudden healing would occur. They were in less pain. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what if I could bring more stillness into my practice? Because as you know, us nurses are pretty busy. We're task orientated mm-hmm. sometimes. So I really wanted to take my skill of being present and share it with others by holding them until they felt still and relaxed and seeing what would happen for them.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So Tell us more, you know, before you got into the whole aspect of spirituality and this new aspect of healing people through this this way. I don't
healing
know.
Touch.
Yeah, healing touch. I don't really know too many people who do the aspects of this the way you're presenting it on your website.
And I think one of the things to point out is that for some of our listeners, we may be familiar with Reiki or some of the different energy works where it actually is, you have, like, for instance, a physical modality where maybe you lay hands on a person or something like that. But Christy, what you do is way, way beyond any of those modalities that I have seen. Wouldn't you agree, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It's just has a whole different energy if you feel into it as far as how this is coming through and how powerful it is as far as being able to really heal people at the deepest levels, no matter how deep their wounds go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to give us the journey and everything like that, can you talk about, like, how we'll get into your spiritual practice and everything, but can you talk about the other aspect, the nursing aspect, and the different experiences you've had in life as far as getting to the point of coming to this, as far as, you know, how you got into nursing and the different ways that you've been working with people over the years?
I remember having an experience when I was about 3 years old of being in a room with my mom and a bunch of people I didn't know. My mom went over to pray with them because this particular woman needed healing. And I didn't really know what was happening, but I felt drawn with full compassion to go over and touch her. And I remember being so small, I was going between their legs. When I touched her, the whole room broke out in joy. So I realized that I had this really deep compassion for humanity and didn't really pay much attention to it growing up. And then eventually lost touch with it. And it started coming back around again when my dad passed away. Because when he passed away, I was overcome with joy, which was really confusing. Peacefulness and joy. I thought I should be sad because that's what I was told I should feel. I've always had this strong connection to my inner voice and to love, really. And so I started exploring what that was all about again in my mid-20s. And there was just one day where I was at work as a paramedic. And there was an incident that occurred and I did a really good job and I was really proud of myself. So it was kind of like strutting my stuff, as some of us paramedics do. I heard a voice that said, "You need to go back to school. You need to be a nurse." And I was not happy about that news. I was happy in life. And life got really difficult until I did. And it paved the way for me to get right into university because I didn't have the academic credentials to get in, but I did. Mm. And I did really well at nursing school. And I just kept following and trusting this path, surrendering to what I know what felt right in my body. And just slowly navigated my way here.
Christy, one of the things that, I mean, there's so many things that you're just such an amazing person. I love you so much. But one of the things that I notice about you is that you're just, you're so sensitive, you know, on so many different levels. And what is it like being an energetically sensitive being and being surrounded, like, for instance, in the emergency room or clinical settings that are more bureaucratic in some ways? How does that impact you energetically and how do you deal with that?
That was also a journey I had to navigate. So as you hear, many empaths experience what they call this negativity and they have to put up mirrors and do all these energetic practices so that they could keep a distance or keep separated from it so it doesn't impact. So it was overwhelming many times and it would shut me down. I spent many days in bed. through different periods of my life. Mm-hmm. And as I learned to where to put my focus, it changed that whole experience. When I placed my focus inwards on my source of connection and my source of love, I didn't notice the outside world as much because I felt loved and cared for from the inside out. And as I slowly integrated into my body and stood my ground in my space, I didn't actually have to need the protection things anymore. It's kind of like if a negativity came at me, I could smile and say, I love you. So when I'm in the emergency room, I can maintain that space now, and it's taken, many years of practice. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but.
No, it's just so beautiful. And to me, it seems so simple, but it's so profound, because I feel like a lot of us on our divine practice, our individual journeys, we are sensitive, we are empathic, and just being in the world sometimes is overwhelming. And a lot of times, you know, we don't know what to do except for shut down because it's too hard and whatnot. And it's just so inspiring to see your journey and to have been able to, into some way to witness and be along for bits and pieces of that. It's a major blessing.
Well, thank you. A large part of it is learning to surrender into that place of love where I lay my concerns at my source of connection and trust that I'm going to be loved and cared for it always. So that's my main practice is a non-doing, a non-practice. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I'm loved and cared for and developing my trust in life.
Mm-hmm.
I learned it from a particular group of people who supported me through this, and I'm so grateful for those people where they just taught me how to be with myself and just to follow this gentle feelings inside my body, and everything else will be taken care of for me. And whenever mm-hmm. I experienced one of those energetic upheavals, I always went back to my safe place that, you know, I built, mm-hmm. that was shown to me in my body where it is. And so it's a very somatic experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I ran into negative energy, one of my favorite things to do is lay in the sun and just feel the sun soak into my body and trust that all the things that are bothering me are going to dissolve and be cared for in that loving space. So as I move forward into my practice, that's what I bring forward to other people so they get to experience that. And then I'm hoping that they'll get to build that space inside of themselves so they can do their own self-care. Yeah.
So, you know, going back to what you said in the beginning when you're talking about your journey and how you got the message that it was time for you to go to nursing school, I think it was very profound the way you said, you know, life was very difficult until you finally committed to that. And I think that's true of so many different journeys and so many different stories. I know when I've been coaching people, lots of people will ask me the question of how do I know that I'm on the right path, or how do I know that everything is the way it needs to be? And I tell them in those situations, well, if you're kind of going the wrong way, or if you're not on the right path, that, you know, life is self-correcting.
Mm-hmm.
And
in one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when the 2x4s come out. And then I get mucked.
And I'm sure for all of us that are here and anybody who's listening to the show, we know how this works, right? We get that initial little whisper and we go, nah, I don't want to do that. And then we get the little, you know, the shout. And then we get the push. And then the whole world drops out from underneath. And the universe says, all right. It's time for you to do this. And you know, for me in my life, one of the experiences I had had to do with being in a job that I felt very secure in, but was never happy. You know, I was kind of in that job and, you know, I was making a really good paycheck and kind of fooling myself. And, you know, I would even have conversations where people would say, you know what you just said? I'd say, well, what is that? They said, you said, you know, you basically hate your job and you hate the fact that people disrespect you and, you know, and stuff like that, you know? And it was one of those things where I got the initial message and then there was the subtleties. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was kind of like all stops were pulled out and the universe said, all right, apparently you're not going to move unless we move you. And sure enough, they opened the magic door and, you know, it was all quick. And it's funny because I think in life when I've had those experiences that most people would consider to be very scary, in that moment, there's this breath of like relaxation and centeredness and balance of just like exhaling, going, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how freeing this would be. And then, you know, kind of going beyond that and realizing in hindsight, wow, I can't believe I didn't leave like a year before, you know? But it is interesting how much of that can be in hindsight sometimes, you know, and you look back and you say, oh, wow, look at all the things I did or, you know, but also having respect for the journey that, you know, in a lot of these situations, everything was exactly the way it needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It requires the courage to trust.
And it must require, I would imagine, the courage to venture out and start your new business, Snuggling Hearts. So we're so excited that you're doing that. Yeah. I can only imagine. So how have things been going with the Snuggling Hearts?
It's been a really interesting journey, learning how to coach people into stillness, learning how to stand in what I'm doing and to be seen and to talk to people, and being a naturally quiet person to go in public and start speaking about these kinds of things is a challenge that I'm gladly taking up and having the courage to speak about it now. And so those are the types of challenges I've been having, just my own growth into this. And learning how to work with other people and communicate. And I've been seeing some really fantastic results from my clients. And I'm so pleased to be able to do this. It's such an honor to get to be such a facility and an instrument and to be of service to these people.
And then on the medical aspect of it, and some of the reading that I've been doing on your website, so coming from the nursing side, what are the benefits of human touch biologically?
So in our culture, we trained for instant gratification. So there's a neurotransmitter in your brain called dopamine that gives you this rush and this feeling of reward. And sadly, we don't actually get the feelings of bonding that the hormone oxytocin gives you. It's similar to the way a mother feels when her baby is born, and that the bonding, that connection. So what I'm doing is I'm providing people the opportunity to experience the oxytocin, and it's very relaxing. It feels very connecting, and it helps people calm down and just really start being more sensitive and aware to what's going on within themselves. And it's a very challenging thing for some people to do, to actually receive that type of care and that sensation. It's uncommon that, even in my life, I never used to take the time to do that sort of thing. So the benefits that people are saying is, some of the feedback I've been getting, people are saying they feel heard, like they're amazed that somebody's actually listening to them. And it affects their spiritual space very deeply. And it transforms their life immensely right away. It's really neat to watch.
You know, when you talk about
get.
Go ahead, Christy.
When you get oxytocin, it relaxes all the anxiety drives, all the up drives. It gets into your parasympathetic nervous system, and then it can reduce your anxiety and your for up to 5 days and increase your feelings of well-being. And those are the types of experiences that are necessary to balance out this crazy world we live in.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, would you say what you're doing, this practice and with Snuggling Hearts, is like helping to perhaps calm an overstimulated nervous system?
Yes, it's exactly what I'm doing.
Because I wonder how hard it would be for someone who's almost addicted to those instant gratification dopamine hits to actually come into a place of stillness with you. What have your struggles been?
One of my struggles is I'm not giving somebody too much information when they're in the dopamine rush, to meet them where they're at, and just to recognize where they're at. And sometimes they're just not ready to receive what I'm offering. And I do a screener before they come, and I can tell if they're ready or not. And many of those people that need the rush aren't. I say that they can't come. They need to. We're just not a match for what I'm offering and what they're looking for. Although I haven't been able to figure out how to bring them into my Snuggery Cove and to help them calm down. Because often they have some inappropriate behaviors of wanting stimulation and excitement, and it goes against
Yeah, because
my
what
policy.
What you're doing is, yeah, and I was going to bring that up too. So what you're doing is strictly non-sexual. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, and just a really strict policy of shorts and t-shirts on at all times. No touching of any areas covered by undergarments and. It's essentially a spiritual practice, but a really personal, with a really personal touch of, you know, holding somebody in nurturing comfort.
You know, when you were talking earlier about the touch practice and the healing aspects of it, I was thinking back to the studies they did on the Chinese nurseries and how babies weren't being touched or picked up and they basically cried, and how I think there's been some other studies too that show that for certain, I think animals were some of the studies they did where if they're not touched or anything like that, the animal eventually just dies. So just the importance of touch in our lives and.
Yeah, it's very important to get that tactile stimulation. And I've heard stories where people were just going to visit their dentist so they get some sort of stimulation and interaction with others. And I thought that was so sad. And the other thing I ran into that I found fascinating is people are in romantic partnerships or relationships, and they're still not getting those needs met of intimacy, like emotional intimacy, of really being seen and heard and touched in a way that doesn't have an expectation to it. And I feel like what I'm doing is really important in that aspect.
So if somebody's there in your area, what would they need to do to make an appointment to come see you?
They can go to snugglinghearts.ca, and in the contact page there's my name and information. And if they're feeling like it's too much to give me a phone call, they can always write me an email, ask me any questions, and I'd be happy to answer anything that they would like to ask me.
So in some of the screenings or the phone calls you do when people call and they ask questions, what are some of the common questions you've been seeing with clients and potential clients?
They want to know what it is exactly what I'm doing, because there's sometimes confusion of what snuggling is. And so they just want to know what's involved in the session, what should they wear, what happens when they arrive, and those kinds of things. And then I just explain to them what I do is that I hold them in a long hug, where they don't actually have to do anything. They just get to receive some attention. And I also do some light massaging in my session. And then I just talk to them about what's going on in their life and why they feel my service might be able to benefit them. And then I just, then we talk about if I can, help them or not.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, Christy, we'll pretend that I'm a caller and I've called you up and I've scheduled my session. So kind of walk us through, like, what would the typical person who comes in for a session with you, like, what would that session look like? What would the process be?
So I usually ask people to come in about 15 minutes early so we can go over the paperwork, the brief intake form, and then there's my policy form. So in the policy form, it talks about no sexual activity is permitted on both parties. There's no kissing permitted for anyone. The policy and the confidentiality policy. So after we go over that, and I sign it and the client signs it, we go into the room in my room there's like a big day bed, and it's situated in a healing center. So it's very set up very professionally. It gives the chance for people to see that this is a therapy type service. And I also have two chairs in their room. So when we come into the room, we first start sitting in the chairs, and I do a little brief get to know you. And so I would ask you, why are you here today? What's been going on in your life? How do you think I could help you? And I just really listen and tune in to what's going on. And then as I'm listening, I'm making kind of a plan on how best to help you. So I can see where your existential tensions are, your challenges in life. And also, if you tell me the reason that you're there, I can tailor my session to what you need. And so then next thing that happens is I just explain how I do my timer. I set the time 5 minutes, the alarm to go 5 minutes off 5 minutes before we're done. And then I explain that I'm going to get on the bed and sit down. And I ask my client to come and sit with their back facing me. And then we do some deep breathing. And then the following instruction would be, when you're ready, slowly lean back into me. And then I always ask permission to touch. And then we do some deep breathing. And then I, depending if the client just wants to rest or if they want to be guided into more relaxation, can do that. And then it follows organically from there.
Mm.
And then at the end of the session, we'll talk about it a little bit and see what was useful, what wasn't useful.
Have you come across people that you've worked with that just don't like being touched, and how do you work with that?
Yes, I did come in contact with that. So I'm really good at reading where people are at. So we did some boundary work. I could not touch this person. And so what I would do is I would say, how do you feel if I come closer? And then I would instruct them to tell me no, and I'd work through it. And then And it, so by doing that, it establishes trust. So trust is a key component in this situation. And then the next thing I did with that person was to do a guided session where I just sat in the chair because being next to the bed was close enough. And I brought the person into one of the best experiences of their life where they felt safe, warm and fuzzy and cared for. And it kept guiding them to deeper, deeper relaxation. And then the next step was to remind them to remember a fearful situation. So this is a process I call calibration. So I bring them back and forth, fear to relaxation. And at the right moment, I'll say, okay, now we're going to welcome fear into the sunshine. And, you know, if, for example, if we're on the beach, get fear to pull up a blanket, we're all just going to hang out together and we're just going to focus on the sun. And then something incredible always happens in that moment where they can exist in their safe place with fear. It loses its power and gets integrated. So the fear itself doesn't need to be dealt with. It just has to be welcomed. And all the emotions are welcome at my table. And I slowly bring the person back and then end the session. So I'm teaching people how to be okay with saying no and to experience their emotions in a safe place.
I think everybody's story or what they're working on can be so different, but there also can be noticing patterns. I'm just wondering, you know, with the different people you work with, do you see a common pattern, maybe a pattern of a person not knowing how to love themselves? You know, you're talking earlier about, you know, being in a relationship and sometimes even in a relationship, not getting what you need out of the relationship. And, you know, when I think about stuff like that, I think about the fact of, you know, where is that person at and how much can they love themselves, and how much they love themselves determines on how much love they can allow in the relationship. What's your thoughts about that, and what common patterns have you seen with some of your clients as far as, is there a type of thread that you notice in different people?
So patterns are fascinating because we often put a lot of our attention on patterns and we try to work through our patterns, but there's a whole other way around it. And it's the way that I just described it, doing the relaxation and surrender process. And so it doesn't matter.
Christy,
in somebody,
you still there?
The point where they're.
Oh, there
you
go. Yeah. Okay.
Where are we at here?
I think the energy was so high, it just blasted us off. We were talking about the difference between, you know, focusing on those patterns versus just like you were doing with integrating, like, for instance, the fear on the beach, which I think is like, I can't tell you how amazing and freeing that is and how transformative that right there, that concept can be. I mean, literally for millions and millions of people. And it's my wish that anyone that hears this right now or in replays in the future will hold on to that nugget and know that, you know, we no longer have to go through and dig and dig and dig through all those patterns to be released from them. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's old.
We all
that's
deserve
old stuff.
To be. Yeah. We all deserve to be loved and cared for, no exceptions, no matter what patterns we have. And it's learning to focus on the relaxation and the sweetness and the gentleness that we all have inside of ourselves. Everybody in their life has had at least one gentle experience that filled their soul up. I hope. And it's my wish that everybody does.
Well, and if they haven't, you know, God forbid, you know, they can come get a snuggle from you. I know that that will definitely be such a beautiful gift,
Mm-hmm. So I can see that point in everyone where their soul originated from, and I can guide them back into it. And all of a sudden they'll have an experience in their body of connection with themselves. And many times for people, it's the first time they've had that. And I remember my first time that it happened, I was like, whoa, what is this? And it changed my life. That's the day anxiety left. So all these issues that we have, love is always the answer. Mm-hmm. And connection or place, whatever word you want to put in there.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of sitting in that energy. So I think you had said earlier that one of the key winning things, because I want to really just put this point out there for everybody to really notice, is you said to come into that space is to just trust in the divine and just know that you're loved and everything is taken care of.
Mm-hmm. But so we all have heard that before, but how do you actually feel it? How do you experience mm-hmm. it? Where does it sit in your body?
For me, it's in the gut.
All warm and fuzzy like a teddy bear.
Yes, he is. You know him well.
Mm-hmm. So does that concept sound correct?
Mm-hmm. So I'm dealing with issues of the spiritual heart, and that's where everything can be resolved on our behalf if we allow it. A lot of the tensions that I see are because people are worried and not being in the present moment with themselves and the beauty that they are. If they can see their beauty that I see in them, there wouldn't be any more tensions.
I'm wondering, would it be possible for you to, because, you know, normally when me and Christy do the show, we'll do like a little guided meditation or something like that. Do you think you could guide us into a space of something, you know, that feels right for you in the moment to share with everybody?
Yeah, it's actually very simple. So let's just take a deep breath and kind of feel our bums on the chair, wherever they are at the moment. And then smile. No, real smile from your heart. The smile that lights up your face, that comes from in your body. The smile when you look at your loved one or your favorite animal, your favorite pet, your favorite sunset. How does that feel?
Yummy.
Now think about a worry that you may have and notice your body. Okay, that's enough of that. Let's go back to smiling. And that's the basis of my practice, smiling at your heart. And that feeling, that warm, fuzzy feeling, is what I'm strengthening in myself and for others, and guiding people to strengthen that.
That's so beautiful. Christy, have you thought at all, I don't know how this might work, but if someone were attracted to your work with snuggling hearts and perhaps are not there close to you in Canada, do you feel like it would be useful perhaps to have maybe a one-on-one Skype session with them so you could like work through some of these things and being present with them?
Yeah, it's one of my gifts and talents. I can feel how much tensions or how much relaxation somebody is allowing into their nervous system, how much smile they have and how much gratitude. So what I would do is work on building those aspects. And yeah, I can definitely help them over Skype.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So if you're listening now on Divine Practice on Spiritual Connections Radio or on the replay even, and you feel called and drawn to work with Christy through snugglinghearts.ca, know that even if you're not in the area there in Canada with her, that you still may be able to work with her. So I would suggest going to her contact page there on snugglingheart.ca and sending her some questions and just maybe even setting up a session to work one-on-one with Christy. Christy is such a gift, and what she's bringing through right now is quite amazing. So again, that would be snugglingheart.ca.
I would like to say that these are all kind of being given to me as gifts of love, and that I'm actually not the one responsible for all these things being brought through. And it's just a joy to be able to share these beautiful gifts of love with people.
I think one of the things I like that you talked about earlier is the idea that there's this end of having to do work, this end of having to do an evaluation of patterns. And I know you talked about one of the practices and stuff that allows you to be in that space. Can you talk about another tool that people could use instead of this constant idea that they have to be constantly doing the work, their personal work?
Oh, it's the same thing, just smiling and just taking a moment to breathe deeply. Many people aren't breathing into their diaphragms, expanding their stomach when they breathe. So if they're not having a good enough day to be able to smile, because that happens, just taking a moment to get through some breathing. So because most of us are in an anxiety drive or like a overstimulated nervous system, getting to relaxation is like seems like a huge feat. So there's a breathing exercise where you breathe in deeply all the way, expanding your stomach, holding it for as long as you can, and letting it out. And trying to get up to 6 breaths is harder than you might think. One of the other things is when we get really busy and it's our busyness that actually blocks the feeling that everything is perfect right here in this moment and as it should be. Trying to imagine that it should be different. But when we think it's different, that's the time where we notice that we think it needs to be different. And that's kind of like our facility to help us remember that we're always loved and cared for and that we can trust that, you know, that we can actually bring our focus back into ourselves to reconnect with that smile that we all have.
I was just kind of sitting with that and just feeling it.
Well, and that makes me, it reminds me, Christy, of the busyness that, say, a mother has, you know. I know for me personally, like whenever I get home from work and the girls are here and they're calling for my attention and wonderful Mark is calling for my attention and all these beautiful people
surround me. And then I start to feel overwhelmed in a way, because I'm like, I feel like my mind is taking me somewhere else rather than where I'm at right in the moment. It's like something happens where I'm put in overdrive, where I can't just simply be with them because there's some pressure to do more, to be more, to be constantly moving. So for me to just quiet myself and just be 100% present with whoever's standing right in front of me, you know, has been one of the practices that I've been doing for a little while now. And what I've noticed is that everything starts to soften, you know. So whenever that trigger comes of trying to push the moment away or run away from the moment or push through the moment, it starts to, it becomes my teacher to just stop exactly what I'm doing. And instead of running away from it, just be totally present in it, you know? And I found that all of that, that pressure just dissolves right then and there.
So you got this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's it's a matter of focus. Where is your focus? Is your focus on the softness and gentleness inside of you, that warm, safe place? Are you paying attention to everything in your environment and worried about this and that and the busyness? So every time we experience busyness, it's not wrong. It's just a pointer to return us back to ourselves.
And I think it's so freeing and liberating to just explain to the people that we love or the people that are around us in general that, you know, whatever we're going through, we don't have to label as wrong, you know? It's not wrong, just like what you said. I feel like it's so liberating to just take that label off, that we're not defective. There's not something wrong with us. It's not something we have to beat ourselves up about or... you know, whatever that journey may look like, but rather just to come back to that soft and gentle place within us that's always with us, you know, and that you bring out in people so well.
It's these moments are the opportunities to return us back to our attention back inwards. Because the moment we turn our attention away from ourselves, somebody will remind you that you should go back towards yourself by distracting you. You start feeling the tensions again. And so every time we choose love or choose to return inwards, our connection strengthens and that peacefulness comes. And then as this, you continue this practice over time, you can be so present with other people and still be completely still. And there could be tons of things going on and still being still with it. Because the attention that you have is focused inwards. And I see that you're doing that practice already, so. But it's not a practice.
You're sending
it's just a point of focus.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying your ripples are going out everywhere.
I've never heard you guys be so quiet before.
We're just kind of sitting in the energy, and it's, it, you know, because there's what's being said, and then there's an underlying energy that's rippling out, and it's very calming just to sit in that space. You know, we know that you have a beautiful horse, and I'm wondering if you can talk about what your horse has taught you.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I was his teacher. So my horse is so completely present in his own being that he will not interact with me until I'm present in my being, and then he'll talk to me. So if I'm being bossy and demanding, he just looks at me. He won't do anything. If I'm feeling needy and I want him to come to me to snuggle me or do something, he'll just look at me and not give me what I think I want. And I recognize this as me leaving my own experience. So once I realized this, I returned back to myself and I really feel what I'm feeling in the moment. And once I get really connected back to that sweet, gentle spot, he'll come and we'll have this beautiful connected interaction in writing and just walking together. Otherwise, he won't even pay attention to me. So my horse really taught me how to be present with myself. And he's the one that taught me how to touch properly. I went touching other people, and he didn't like it when I would touch him. He would move away, and that really hurt my feelings. And so as I felt my hurt feelings, but I also felt curious. I'm like, why does this horse not want me to touch him? So I observed the energy in which I was doing it, and I was touching him so I could give him an experience. I wanted him to feel good. And he didn't like it. And then one kind of flash of inspiration, I realized if I just touched him to feel what his fur feels like in my experience, and really just listen to what my hand felt touching his fur, all of a sudden we clicked. And then he wanted to be touched again. So one of them had a repelling energy, and the other one was just feeling his fur in the present moment. And whenever I wanted to engage with him for my purpose, he would not engage with me. Whenever I engaged with him in my present moment, and I could feel my feet on the ground, and I sent out an invitation, an energetic invitation, all of a sudden he would start walking with me. It's hard to pick one lesson. He's taught me so much.
It's interesting because, you know, as you're sharing that, it reminds me so much of so many different relationships I've been in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm the horse, Christy.
So, I mean, don't we all have teachers, you know, all around us?
Yeah, and just touching to feel the beauty in the present moment in the touch. Like, wow, I can't believe this beautiful creature is allowing me to touch him with such trust and calmness. And when I was in gratitude, our relationship flowed.
You had shared during the story that, you know, when you're in that moment of self-realization of what you're doing and stuff like that, you found that the best way of working through that was to really notice what it was that you were experiencing. Do you have any recommendations for people who are in those moments but have a really hard time of noticing how they're showing up?
That's a good question. In my experience, when I've had that where I wasn't able to notice right away, I would always maintain a curiosity. And maybe later when I was more calmed down or not so triggered, I would look at it with curiosity. And sometimes it might take a while, but as I employed this curiosity more and more, the time span got shorter and all of a sudden integrated into the present moment. And yeah, being very gentle with ourselves, because we're all so beautiful and deserving of love and gentleness and caring. And
It's interesting how we can be in those moments, how hard we can be on ourselves, that we would never treat anybody else the way we treat ourselves.
Exactly. And just setting time aside of where there's nothing to do, where you just get to be for a moment. Those are really helpful, especially like getting out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have that
time. I was going to say, So, you know, I think that's one of the things that's been taught, but I don't think, you know, a lot of people, you know, you had said earlier, you know, this is a good example of something, but what does it really mean? You know, how do you actually put it in practice? So what does that look like to take time for yourself and to allow that nurturing for yourself and having space for yourself?
For me, it first started with going to workshops with people who could support me through it. So I didn't know about this stuff either, about how to give myself attention and to nurture and care for myself. What it really looks like is getting lost in something that you love, or you like in a bath. You can just turn everything off and just be there. One of my practices I have is I touch my heart with my hand and just remember to smile so that it goes back to smiling. So you can get that warm feeling in your chest and with a smile, that is the very first step. So some people might be more people who need to be in the experience to have a smile, so they might have to go actually watch the sunset or whatever they find is beautiful, because when you see beauty, that's the sign of an opening heart. For me, I can just sit at home and think about it and I'm happy. But it has to be accompanied with a sensory experience of, you know, the warmth of love for a loved one or a special moment. Or a special
This has been a very special moment experience to share this time with you, learn more about your practice and what you're doing there. This work that's coming through you is definitely a gift for all that are able to take advantage of it. And for those that, again, may not be in the area, to have a physical one-on-one, you know, Christy has said that she will make herself available via Skype sessions too. Just go to snugglinghearts.ca. That's snugglinghearts.ca. And with that, I just want to say thank you so much for spending this last hour with us here on Divine Practice. The time goes by really quick.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a opportunity to use my voice for the first time, and I'm so happy I was able to do it.
Absolutely.
Vulnerability confession.
Oh, so lovely.
Any closing message you want to give to all the listeners before we go?
Yeah, vulnerability is uncomfortable, but at the bottom of it, you'll find your truth.
Thank you for being on the show today, and thank you for being with us and blessing us with so many beautiful lessons and energy.
Thank you for having me, Mark and Christy. I love you.
We love you so much.
All right. Thank you for being on the show. Hey, everybody, you've been listening to the Divine Practice Radio Show on Spiritual Connections Radio. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night.
Night.